We want them to know about our culture, our history, that we're still here. We're not a vanishing race, and that there's so much that our culture, that our tribal nations and our languages have provided to everyday life today.
From Wyoming Public Media, this is The Modern West. I'm Micah Schweitzer. On this episode, Native American students in the classroom. Coming up, we'll hear what the University of Wyoming is doing to increase Native American representation. But we'll start with a story about how Native Americans are portrayed in public schools. The United States has a grim history when it comes to our indigenous people, from massacres to broken treaties to Indian boarding schools where Native children were taken from their families and frequently abused. For the most part, this history isn't taught in our public schools, neither is indigenous culture. But that's starting to change. The Mountain West News Bureau's Allie Budner reports.
Colorado's Department of Education is at a local library to unveil a new set of lessons for fourth graders.
The lesson that we're going to look at today looks at education for the Ute at the turn of the century.
The optional curriculum was written and approved by the state's two federally recognized tribes, the Southern Ute and the Ute Mountain Ute.
Stuff like this, children need to know.
Felicia Alvarez applauds the move. She's a local parent and a member of the Eastern Shoshone tribe.
I've always felt that within our education system, if we were to include true historical facts, that the children would be much more educated and there would be less ignorance towards our people.
Another parent is listening intently to the new lesson plans. Monica Snowbird is Anishinaabe, an indigenous group from around the Great Lakes area.
Our nation doesn't have any traditional ties to Colorado, but I've been here 25-ish years, and so my kids were all born and raised here.
Snowbird says her kids were lucky to have teachers who were willing to incorporate Native history, but she says it was concerned parents like her who had to provide the learning materials themselves, and that's a burden on parents.
So this is taking some of that burden away, so that's huge.
She welcomes the curriculum, but worries that it still falls short.
Like, I read the curriculum on Thanksgiving, and it didn't talk about really any of the horrific things that happened around that time.
That perspective is one that's been growing throughout Indian country.
Ernest House Jr. would know. Until very recently, he was the head of the Colorado Commission on Indian Affairs. He's a member of the Ute Mountain Ute tribe and oversaw the curriculum's development. He understands Snowbird's concerns, but says the decision to keep the lessons free of too much violent history was intentional, because it's for fourth graders. That's when Colorado schools start to focus on teaching the state's history.
There was a lot of conversations that we had that we wanted to put in this one, that we said, well, if we can put that in another one that came in middle school or in high school, is that an opportunity? And we decided that there would be this first step into this guide.
Meanwhile, Montana is way ahead of that first step.
Well, you know, Montana is unique.
Mike Jetty is an Indian education specialist for the state of Montana. He's also a member of the Spirit Lake Dakota Nation and a Turtle Mountain Chippewa descendant.
We're the only state in the country that has it written into our state constitution that will teach about American Indians. And that happened in 1972.
He says it took decades, but now not only is it in the Constitution, it's funded by the state government, so they can afford to reach all schools and all ages.
We're trying to hit every grade. You have a grade 4 science standard. We have references to Native American science. If you have a grade 8 social studies standard, we have tribal government and sovereignty written into that.
He says it's true some of this history can be painful and violent.
But at the same time, I think kids can handle stuff that we don't, give them credit for. It depends on how you present it and how that teacher does it.
Bottom line, he says, it's good for non-Native and Native students alike to understand our history. Ernest House Jr. agrees.
No matter what tribe you talk to out of 573 federally recognized tribes, tribes want people just general population to know about them. We want them to know about our culture, our history, that we're still here. We're not a vanishing race, and that there's so much that our culture, that our tribal nations and our languages have provided to everyday life today.
And the Mountain West is listening. Utah has had its own curriculum on Native tribes since 2009, but like Colorado, it isn't mandatory. Meanwhile, Wyoming will roll out its new academic standards in 2021, requiring the inclusion of Indigenous history and culture at all grade levels. House says a thorough and honest understanding of our history is crucial.
We won't be able to start addressing much bigger, larger needs unless people have a baseline of American Indian history and the respect for that culture.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Ali Budner.
In an essay for YR Media, Wyoming Public Radio's Taylor Stagner recalls the obstacles she faced as a Native American student at the University of Wyoming.
I grew up on the Wind River Reservation, home to the Northern Arapaho and Eastern Shoshone tribes in Wyoming. I'm also a recent graduate of the University of Wyoming. Since stepping on campus, I became aware that there are few Native Americans in higher education. So when I was asked by a professor to do a class presentation about the reservation where I grew up, nervously, I agreed. After my speech, I asked my peers what questions they might have. Slowly, I heard two of my classmates beating on their desks in front of them like a drum, as if they were imitating a Native American drum circle. I watched as they became more confident until they felt brazen enough to start doing the tomahawk chop. It's a baseball chant popularized by the Atlanta Braves, a team that has faced criticism for its appropriation of Native American culture. I stood at the front of the class while they were chanting. I found it hard to speak up out of embarrassment and rage. I felt as if I was paraded out to be mocked because the professor did little to quell the two classmates, and the laughter ensued. Later that school year, I went to the department head to tell them of the situation to perhaps get some closure or recompense. I was met with an awkward laugh and no promise to do anything about the matter. I have heard many similar education stories from my Indigenous peers. Professors insinuate that the class is too hard for them. A student is told she's doing better than expected considering where she is from. These microaggressive blows to our sense of self remind us that we are lucky to be here and should be happy we are in college at all. In 2017, only 27% of Native Americans had attained an associate's degree or higher. That's compared to 54% for white students, according to the data from the Post-Secondary National Policy Institute. And the participation of Native American students in higher education dropped from 23% in 2015-2016 down to 19% in 2016-2017. My university, in particular, has a fraught relationship with Indigenous peoples from the Wind River Reservation. In 2015, high schoolers on a college visit were detained and searched while shopping at the campus bookstore. In 2017, a group of prospective students were brought to a musical that depicted Native Americans as evil. This treatment is reflected in the enrollment of Native American students, which in a student body of over 12,000, declined from 79 in 2015 down to 64 in 2017. The University of Wyoming is trying to address this. Training on discrimination and harassment prevention is now mandatory for all university faculty. This training will include education about microaggressions and racial bias. The university has also opened a Native American Research Center where Native American students can gather to study, have meetings, and meet other students. The center is also home to a summer institute for Native American high schoolers to help them envision college as a part of their future. And while I enjoy the benefits of the Native American Research Center, I wish the rest of the campus was more educated about Native peoples. Many students at the university have not met or been around a Native, and as a result, Indigenous students bear the brunt of their ignorance. I've been called a squaw, I have been asked if I scalp people in my free time, and I can't count the number of times I've heard my people referred to as drunks. Yes, these are jokes, but these remarks are made at the expense of marginalized people. When I think back on my classmates doing the tomahawk chop, I wish the professor had called out their racism. The administration should have heard my complaint with more than an uncomfortable laugh. I have worked hard to strengthen my voice in the face of uncomfortable situations and racist remarks disguised as jokes. It seems ridiculous that this burden falls on me, an Indigenous student, rather than the university administration and faculty. But I push myself to speak up. in an attempt to build a world where ridicule for my people is not the norm.
Because of incidents like Taylor's and others she mentioned, the University of Wyoming has hired a new Native American program advisor. President Lori Nichols has said the goal is to try to increase Native American student enrollment so it better reflects the Native population here in Wyoming. Right now, the student body totals more than 12,000, and yet there are fewer than 100 Native American students at UW. Many tribal students say that's because the campus isn't as welcoming as it could be. But that may change now that Raynette Tendor is stationed at the Native American Center on campus. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards spoke with Tendor about her own personal struggles as a student at UW.
Well, I knew I wanted to go to college in kindergarten, and back then I didn't really think of where that came from, but now I kind of know that goes back to my family, and my family values was education, because now that I reflect back on what I wanted to do, I wanted to be a teacher when I was in kindergarten, and it stuck my whole high school career all the way through, and I even came to UW and majored in elementary education. I graduated, and not long after, my husband was in the military, and we left with him to California, and I came back to the reservation a few years after and was offered a community job within our community on the reservation. And then my whole life just took a different path at that point, because I wanted to work with our own Native people and our own tribal people. And I started realizing I wanted to help them in everything. Like, I wish I could help them in every part of their life. And so I started realizing that was a passion of mine, was just helping our tribal people. And so I took a path of helping people. And I looked into that profession when I got here. One of my mentors here at UW mentioned, did you ever think of social work? And suddenly it just changed.
And was there challenges, though, the two times that you came to UW? What were some of the challenges for you when you were here?
Well, when I first got here, I was a teen mom. I came right out of high school. I became pregnant with my first son, and I was in a failed relationship, and so I left being a single mom to Laramie, and I was here in Laramie raising my son alone.
You're like 18 years
mm-hmm.
old.
I was 18 years old raising my son, and I came to Laramie to go to college, and it was just something that I had set out to do, and having my son was my motivation, because he motivated me to go back to school and to give him a life that I, you know, would not be able to give him without the education, I think. Coming here, it was a culture shock for me. I came straight from the reservation here to Laramie, so I was not only, you know, right out of high school, I also was a mother of a baby and trying to be able to be successful in the university life was pretty challenging, and I experienced several challenges as far as being isolated. I isolated myself at the beginning, and I didn't want to be around other people. I didn't socialize. I went straight to class and straight home. I didn't really have anybody that really reached out to me at that time until I slowly started making friends in classes and things. And at the time, Multicultural Affairs had the advisor under them, and that was specifically per the ethnicity. So I had one, I know I had a couple people through them that started supporting me that I had met. And without those positions, I don't think I would have been successful.
And so that's kind of the role that you're now stepping into?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the role that I am as the program advisor. I'm here to provide support, direct support and resources, and be that person for Native college kids who come to college, and even high school students who are thinking about coming to college. I'm just going to be that person that's going to guide them through this process. And already I have already assisted with this with a couple students, is when they're coming to school, say a freshman right out of high school comes to UW and meets me right away, and which is good, and that's the whole goal, is I want them to come to me first and to be here so I can start be there for them from the time that it starts to continue and continue the relationship all the way through until they graduate. But say they come in and just like me as a single mom and they need resources for their kids or they need schools, they need, you know, information about schools in the Laramie or any resources within the town of Laramie or within campus that they can be useful for them as a teen mom. For their children too, so.
Yeah, and it seems like with the new Native American Center, mm-hmm. there's also, you know, they need to get out and kind of integrate mm-hmm. maybe, but there's also that need for joining in a community of Native American students as well.
Yes, and having the center being here, I started on finals week of the fall 2017 semester, and what the Native organization, the student organization did was have food for finals. And so that was the week that I started, and I felt like it was such a good week to start because the center was filled with all the students. They were all here de-stressing, unwinding, and maybe doing last minute printing, working on papers, editing each other's papers. And so I was able to just come in at that time and see what was all going on and to sit down and actually visit with them and say, what do you need from me? What do you feel is needed? Or what can I do when you come back to help it be, help this process be better for you?
What did you hear? What did you start to hear from those guys?
A lot of the things were just to be there. I mean, because they just walk in because I'm just leave my door open all the time, and they know they can just walk in. And I think I enjoyed that the most was having them walking and knowing that my door's open.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to me about this.
Thank you.
That was the University of Wyoming's new Native American Program Director, Raynette Tendor, speaking with Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards. Orientation is a common activity for incoming college students. It's a chance to meet new people and get to know the campus. Tendor set up an orientation for Native American students so they could feel comfortable from day one. At the beginning of the school year, Taylor Stagner participated in the Native American Research Center's first ever orientation.
I hope this orientation is a big part of them being successful. I really hope that they can look back and say that it all started with the Native Student Orientation.
That is Raynette Tendor. She is the Native American Program Advisor. Her office is housed in the new Native American Education, Research, and Cultural Center here in Laramie.
I being an undergrad student from UW and also my grad school from here, I didn't have any of this community here, a student orientation myself. So when I'm always planning things, I'm always thinking of what's going to help us, what's going to help me, what would have helped me when I was a student.
This is the center's first fall semester and first orientation for new Native students. Some students are unsure of their major but are excited to be here in Laramie.
I'm Wolfstar Duran, and I have an undeclared major.
She's excited about potentially joining a sorority and taking all sorts of classes.
And then there's like swing dancing on Thursdays at 8 p.m. That seems pretty fun.
This is Juwan Willow, another incoming freshman.
So moving to Laramie was interesting. Packed up my car, said goodbye to the family, and they were all like, yeah, get out of here.
His major is social sciences and secondary education. He wants to be a teacher.
So throughout high school, I live on a reservation, and I go to a former BIA school. They're always taught by people who aren't necessarily Native American, and I saw that as kind of an issue, and so I was like, I want to be a teacher.
Faculty and staff from around campus came to welcome the new students. The line to present was out the door of the classroom. While the Native American Education, Research, and Cultural Center has only existed since October of last year, the impact has already been long-lasting.
My name is Taryn Jim, and I'm a senior majoring in speech, language, and hearing science. I'm minoring in disability studies and American Indian studies.
Taryn is graduating and hoping to get into grad school. She remembers not having the research center.
But then when we had this center, it was like I met so many people here, and we all just had, I don't know, we could just all relate to each other really easily. Well, myself personally, I just felt like I was lost because there was really just nowhere to go. There was really nowhere to hang out, no one to relate to from the reservation.
Taryn works on research funded by the Social Justice Research Center on top of being a mother and RSO president of Keepers of the Flame. She's also Northern Arapaho.
I guess like with this orientation, you could see that we're recruiting students, we're getting freshmen in, but at the same time, you know, there was just enough of us that just fit in the classroom. There should be a lot more Native Americans. I guess this house kind of points that out too, that there's not very many of us. But hopefully one day there will be a lot more of us.
Tendor hopes that the Native American students' orientation sets up incoming students to succeed. But across the country, Native American students are severely underrepresented in higher education. Only 16% of Native Americans have a bachelor's degree. That's compared to 42% of white students. But a collective effort that spans from the Wind River Reservation to the University of Wyoming is helping to close that achievement gap. Wyoming Public Radio's Tennessee Watson has more.
From the outside, Wyoming Indian High School looks like your standard modern public school. Brick construction, flagpole, sports fields. But as I follow Fremont 14 Superintendent Owen St. Clair inside, we walk over blue and red linoleum tiles laid in an Arapaho design.
You won't see anything like that in any other school.
St. Clair says as a Native American educator on the Wind River Reservation, he has a duty to teach more than the state standards.
You know, one thing that, you know, people don't realize is that we still practice our culture here. Our mission statement is, you know, being successful in both areas to make yourself a better person. And so we're pushing the academics on one side, but yet we're a community of tradition and belief, or we're pushing our culture and tradition on the other side.
And Fremont 14's graduation rate went up from 35% to 63% in the last 2 years. But encouraging those high school graduates to pursue higher education is a bigger puzzle.
I think what we've discovered is that there isn't just one answer.
Roy Brown is the chairman of the Northern Arapaho Business Council. He says one big issue is how to pay for higher education. The median income for Native American families on the Wind River Reservation is less than half of what it is for households in the rest of Wyoming.
There's not a lot of historical information that's passed on from generation to generation about how to pay for college.
The more Native Americans who go to college, the easier it will be for future generations. Brown says removing barriers like tuition costs will help close the achievement gap sooner. He says, for example, more could be done to help Native American students get the state-funded Hathaway Scholarship. Typically, around 40% of Wyoming high school grads receive the scholarship. On the reservation, that number is consistently below 10%.
The Hathaway is really designed sort of as a one-size-fits-all. And, you know, it's tougher for our students to sort of fit that mold.
Brown says schools are torn between test prep or culture and traditions. He thinks the Hathaway should be more flexible, so superintendents like Owen St. Clair aren't put in that position. But Brown says his community is not just asking for changes. They've been taking action. Back in 1987, the Northern Arapaho Business Council established their own UW scholarship. But it hasn't grown big enough to accommodate increasing interest from Arapaho students.
Part of that, an extension of that work, is to come to the university and sort of explain the issues that we're having and see if there's a way to collaborate.
Collaborate on the idea of a tuition waiver as a way to support Native enrollment. That proposal is still under consideration, but Brown says UW has been doing more to respond to the needs of Native students. Michelle Sullivan is a UW trustee who serves on the Academic and Student Affairs Committee.
I think we find ourselves at a really interesting place right now where we have a combination of individuals who care deeply about this topic. Okay, well, we've got the will, but what does that look like in terms of how we really sustain it?
Sustaining support for Native students is also top priority for James Trosper. He's the director of the High Plains American Indian Research Institute at the University of Wyoming, and he was a student here in the 90s. At that time, there was an Indian education office on campus.
And I remember that place was just busy, bustling with students coming and going, and just really a lot of activity there.
Trosper says institutional priorities shifted and that office went away. He says support for Native students has been inconsistent over the years. And for many in his community, that hits on a distrust for educational institutions that runs deep.
My grandmother had told me about the really clear memories that she had when the police came to her home and removed her from her family and took her to the boarding school.
Trosper says at the boarding school, kids were punished for speaking their language or practicing their culture.
That had to really been harmful to their self-esteem and to who they were as Native American people.
In those stories, Trosper hears lessons about the strength and resiliency of his family, but also a warning.
I really do feel like our people are torn because on the one hand, they want the young people to get an education, but at the same time, it was through education that a lot was taken away from our people.
To send a clear message that Native cultures and languages are welcome at UW, Trosper and many others worked with University President Lori Nichols to create the Native American Education Research and Cultural Center. Trosper has been advocating for a center like this for years.
And I think that the message that the University of Wyoming is supportive of Native American students is getting to the reservation because we are seeing some really positive things.
Last year, only 3 Native American students came straight to UW from high school. Often, they go to community college first. This year, that number has tripled. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Tennessee Watson.
The University of Wyoming has released a draft strategic plan designed to better meet the needs of Native American students and their communities. The proposed plan emphasizes stronger engagement with the UW Foundation to generate the financial resources needed to sustain Native American initiatives. The plan also sets a goal to increase representation of Native American and Indigenous people on UW advisory boards. And that's it for this edition of The Modern West. We'll have a new episode next month. And in the meantime, you can find more stories and episodes at our website, themodernwest.org. David Graff produced this episode. Anna Rader is our web editor. The theme music is by Jeff Troxell. And I'm Micah Schweitzer. The Modern West is a production of Wyoming Public Media.